stats are for losers.
Welcome, everyone, to another thrilling episode of Statistically Speaking. I'm Kyle, your co-host. With me always is the beautiful Blinken Riley. We have a special guest today. It's Jason at College Football Numbers, which is CFB Numbers on Twitter. He's a college football. He does college football analysis, and he does some cool stuff. I just retweeted one. If you want to go check it out, and he's a senior media research associate. Nice, Jason. Welcome. How's it going?
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to be on the podcast. Doing good.
Run us through this fun index that I just shared. It looks awesome. How exactly did you make it? Did you do that in R?
Yeah, so I did that in R, nice. And it is essentially just me looking at stats that I find entertaining. So, like, I enjoy good quarterback play, so I threw QBR in there. I enjoy explosive plays, so I did explosive play rate. That's in there. Good offense, use DPA per play. And then on the defensive side, to me, I enjoy, you know, turnovers. I enjoy, you know, havoc plays like pass breakups, tackles for losses, stuff like that. So it's basically just all of those stats, and then they're all scaled to the same scale so that, you know, everything kind of impacts in the same way, and then just kind of average them together, and that's pretty much the fun index. You know, it's nice and simple, and, you know, it's been pretty effective. Last year when I did it, Iowa was very low offensively, so that was, you know, was validation. That's the eye test to see if your metric is good, is if Iowa's offense is very not fun.
Yes, that's great.
That's pretty much all that's in it.
That's awesome. How does this compare to, like, do you do this annually, or is this something new this year?
I started it last year, and then this year I think I've updated it, I think once or twice, I think twice so far. And just kind of, you know, just keep updating it.
Yeah.
Once we get more data and stuff, just to kind of, you know, keep it updated and just kind of see who's quote unquote fun this year. And, you know, just kind of helps, you know, to me, it's not so much predictive as it is just descriptive and kind of, you know, who's fun to watch. You know, if someone out there is looking for a team to watch, you can just pick one of the top 25, go watch them, and hopefully, you know, you get a good entertainment value out of it.
You know, this would be good to have right before bowl season, because I'll be at work and, like, there's four bowl games on right now. Who do I watch? I don't watch any of these teams regularly. This would be a great thing to come back and find for that scenario. So make sure you update it before bowl season. That'd be sweet.
I'm definitely gonna update it before the end of the season, and it's literally just something to look at, like, oh, I see, you know, like, Western Kentucky is on there. If you want to watch Western Kentucky in the air raid, it's something you may not see every day. You know, if they're playing at noon and your team is playing at, you know, 3:30 or something, go throw that on before your team plays, and, you know, maybe you have a good time before you have a miserable time watching your own team.
Yes.
I can just see Sicko's committee just licking their chops at this lower left quadrant here.
UMass versus Miami of Ohio at noon. That'd be great.
Oh, just brutal.
So if I was making my own, I'd probably, I wonder how much I would wait, like, on defense, like throwing a shoe. I would put that at probably the top of my list. I would love to see that.
The intangibles of the fun index.
Yes.
Right.
The DBs clapping their hands on, like, a horribly overthrown ball. That's got to be up there.
Oh, I just saw on Twitter today, I think it was Duke, when they played Miami, the guy ran after he caught a touchdown, he threw up the U and then, like, broke it over his knee. And I was like, that's probably one of the most clever things I've ever seen. Like, that's
I think the crazy. The most brutal thing about that is Miami fans had to pay, like, for a premium subscription, like, streaming service to watch that game, only to watch a Duke guy just,
man, it's
brutal.
They're never going to recover from that.
That's brutal.
So what do you do? What exactly do you do with PFF and you know, what do you do there?
Yeah, so at PFF, I actually work on the NFL side of things, and I help prepare statistics and storylines for Sunday Night Football. So every week we will, you know, start researching the game, research the teams and stuff, and just kind of create, you know, stats and storylines to give to the production crew and kind of just work with them to get them up to speed and just kind of highlight some of the interesting stuff in that matchup.
Wow. Nice. That sounds like a top tier dream job right there. That sounds
it's
like
literally
fun.
Wake up and it's just football stats. Like
that's awesome.
It's just an absolute dream job right now.
Yes.
That's great. How'd you get into, you know, stats and football and all this?
Yeah. So I was doing a master's degree in sports analytics and management, which was a lot more like businessy side. And I was just surfing Twitter one day and I can't quite remember. It was either the NFL Scrapper or Parker's college football tutorial. It was one of those two. I think I ended up going through both. But you know, I just started looking at that stuff and kind of just I knew I eventually wanted to learn either R or Python, and I figured that would be the best way to do it, is something I enjoy doing, or enjoy looking at, like football stats. So I kind of just started working through those and then kind of just started posting graphs on Twitter because, you know, I saw like Ben Baldwin would post graphs on Twitter. Other people would. So I was like, you know, why not join in on it? And it kind of just became a fun hobby just to kind of dive into it, see if I could find something and just kind of post on Twitter, see if someone would enjoy it. And it's kind of just grown from there. And now it kind of, that's kind of sort of how I got my job at PFF. So it's kind of,
that's
crazy.
Awesome. I love the, you know, hearing people just kind of doing it from a hobby or an interest and, you know, taking off with it. We hear lots of stories about that or like that. And I think it's great because, you know, the more people that are out there doing that stuff, the more cool, like little, like niche projects you get, like the fun index, right? Like, Kelly Ford has the most deserving and the like, what if rankings, stuff like that, like people come up with is great. And I love going through Twitter. And like I said, I've always said before, you can never have too much college football content. So
you really can't. And I feel like since I've started, there's been so many people that post graphs and everything like that. And it's so amazing to see.
Yeah. I mean, not only is it just awesome to see extra stuff, but it also like the more that's out there, it kind of just opens up the realm of like creative thought on what to do next. So like, you know, I'll see something like the Fun Index and do something similar, but like with my own twist on it. And then Blinken might see something and make a stat about it. It just goes on forever. Like I love college football content. So yeah, the more the better. I totally agree with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, not everything has to be like super predictive and this stat just revolutionized. Like it could just be stuff like the Fun Index. That's kind of just screwing around trying to see, you know, what's fun, what isn't, and just kind of, you know, bringing that descriptive analysis to college football, because it just you can unearth so many like storylines and stuff on the season, and it just makes it, you know, so much more entertaining.
Yeah, like not everything has to be some convoluted deep neural network, you know, predicting the spreads of, you know, games and this and that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's awesome. The people that do that, it's great. But there's so much other stuff that it doesn't take a whole lot. It just takes some, you know, I guess, thought and creativity. Like, you know, like the other day, I just on a whim, I made that likeness, the likeness, like what team are you most like in the last 20 years? And it's just, I don't know that there's a lot of insight, but it was interesting to go through and kind of see what bubbled up to the top, right? And it spurred some conversation about why it was so heavily like biased towards kind of recent teams in the last 10 years. And, you know, you go through and you see how the game has changed. And I don't know, it's just those kinds of projects. I feel like the predictive analytics get all the limelight, but I feel like there's a lot of projects like that that I really enjoy.
Yeah, and the more wacky, crazy stuff is what I really like seeing on Twitter. Like a year or so ago when that guy did the correlation of James Harden on away games compared to the local strip club's star rating. And it was such a high correlation. It was really crazy. It was
one of those things that just makes you kind of think. You're like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
I love stuff like that. So the more people we got working, the more that kind of stuff comes up to the top. So yeah, that's great. What is the weirdest fact you've ever like found for work?
Oh man, that's a great question. I feel like I can't. That's a really good question. I don't know. I can't really think of anything on the top right now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Come back to it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to table it for now. I'm trying to think. Yeah.
I'm very interested in that because, like, you know, between a season of football, I can find something I've never found before. I'm like, well, this is weird. But like hearing it like for like the NFL is cool too. So I'm dying to hear what it is.
I'm gonna have to rack my brain on that one. That's interesting.
Yeah, I love digging through and you find something that you almost don't believe at first, right? You're like, what in the world? And you like double check and, you know, make sure. And sure enough, like, I love those kinds of stats you just stumble across, right?
Yeah, and the first thing everyone does when they see those, it goes, I'm looking that up. It's got to be fake. Yeah, for sure. Well, awesome. So let's get into some picks. How about... which one we got going first, Blinken?
I think we're gonna start with the game that I actually have the least information on, and that is Southern Jackson State. This game is on the pick 'em this week. Jackson State is 7-0. Southern's 5-2. What do we think about this game?
Okay, no. First off, knowing nothing about these teams, Jackson State already being undefeated, slight edge. It's at home. I don't know much about them, but man, I think that'll mean something. So I'm sticking with Jackson State, definitely.
Yeah, I don't even, like, ESPN doesn't even have doesn't have odds or anything. Let's go look. Yeah, I can't find.
I feel like they probably won't even have odds on that game.
Yeah,
well, I had to guess.
You randomly Google it, and it's known as like the longest college football rivalry of all divisions in history.
Yeah,
something crazy. We should know.
I think I know it has. I think it has like an HBCU like history. I don't know, like longest rivalry or anything like that, but I think it definitely does.
Yeah, Action Network doesn't even have. I mean, they compile spreads and stuff from, you know, sites and books across the country, and they got nothing.
Oh, they got nothing. Wikipedia says it's called the Boombox Classic.
Oh, there you go.
There have been 67 total meetings. Southern's winning 35-30 and 2. So it's pretty close.
Nice. The Boombox Classic. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, all right, I'm going Jackson State.
Yeah.
I got to go with the undefeated.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Jackson State too. I've watched Jackson State for a total of, I want to say, one game this season. I think I just threw it on randomly. but I feel like they have the talent advantage just from all the transfers they brought in. And, you know, sadly took Travis Hunter for my Florida State. Still crying about that. But Shador Sanders is actually really fun to watch and kind of sort. I know he's not eligible this year, but there have been like quiet whispers of a potential NFL future. I guess we'll see what happens there if he transfers with his dad to a Power 5 job or whatever. But yeah, I'm taking Jackson State.
Sweet.
All right, let's see. Next, we've got Kentucky at Tennessee. Tennessee's favored by 13. The average on prediction tracker has it at 14.5. What do you think? Can Tennessee keep it going?
They are going to keep it going all the way to the SEC championship or Georgia. Probably Georgia. But Kentucky will be no issue for them. It's at home. They're 13-point favorites. They're on a roll. Tennessee all day on this one for sure.
Yeah, I like Tennessee as well. I'm gonna go with Tennessee at home.
Yeah, I'm also going Tennessee. Their offense is just too up tempo. I mean, if they could come out of the gate and score 14 on their first two possessions, and Kentucky just they don't have that kind of tempo. They kind of like to keep it slow, run the ball. Yeah, it's just gonna be too much Tennessee.
Yeah. Next, Stanford at UCLA. UCLA let me down last week. I had them. I had full faith and confidence, and they let me down. This line opened at 15. It's since moved to 16.5 for UCLA. Prediction tracker says spread should be about 13 for UCLA. Yeah. What do we think? Stanford's kind of a not good football team.
Yeah.
Stanford at UCLA. I think I gotta, they burned me last week, but I gotta go UCLA.
Totally agree. I'm going UCLA also. Stanford is not Oregon, so they shouldn't have much problem handling them at home.
Yeah, I know Stanford's quarterback Tanner McKee gets draft consideration this year. I know a lot of people talk about him, but even with him, their offense is still just kind of awkward and weird, and you kind of feel weird watching it. So it's just one of those things you kind of want to like close your eyes and like kind of peek through your fingers. Yeah, UCLA should have no problem here with the bounce back, so I think they should pull out the victory.
Okay, what do we think about Ohio State at Penn State? Ohio State is favored by 15.5 on the road. Prediction tracker average has it about 12.5. This is interesting because I feel like normally this game would be played at night.
Yeah,
in Happy Valley.
Yeah.
With the big whiteout and everything, but this is a nooner. What do we think about Ohio State, Penn State?
Okay, hear me out. Penn State, I feel like this is that game every year that Ohio State loses. I think Ohio State's great. They're good. Penn State's, I don't think they're close, but it's at Penn State. You know, early game, they might be too cocky. I think this one could be an upset. So give me Penn State on this one.
Woo. Nice. I'm taking Ohio State, I think.
I think
Ohio State's going to win this game.
as you should.
I just, you know, Penn State looked good last week and they put a beating on, you know, some folks last week. So, but I think Ohio State's just too good. And if you saw them on the fun index, I mean, they are right up in the corner by their lonesome.
They got the Iowa bump on defense because they just terrorized Iowa's offense. Penn State's path to winning is pressuring CJ Stroud. Penn State is seventh in total pressures in the whole country. So if they can like get him, you know, out of rhythm and out of the pocket, maybe they have a chance, but just don't see Penn State's offense really keeping up. The beauty of you know, if you ever make quarterback metrics, if you build some sort of stats, there's always like guys you look at for like the top and bottom, like Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. If you're building a metric, they're probably at the top somewhere. Sean Clifford is pretty much always in the middle, just right smack dab. Not very high ceiling, just kind of a guy. So yeah, I just don't think they can keep up with Ohio State. So I'm going Ohio State.
We'll see.
But I get you on that. Like, you kind of sort of feel like that energy, yeah. You know, maybe they could pull it out.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to go with your gut.
All right. Illinois at Nebraska. Illinois is favored. Opened it. Illinois -6. It's moved to -8. Prediction tracker averaged 12.5 for Illinois. Nebraska is booty cheeks. So,
I would take
even at 8, it moving to 8, I would still take Illinois to cover. Illinois is a pretty good team, so I'm going to go with Illinois.
I will too. Jason, I have a quick question. Where would Nebraska fall on the booty cheeks index?
They would be pretty high up there. last year, man, poor Scott Frost. Last year, one of my favorite articles I ever wrote was about Scott Frost in Nebraska, and they went 3-9, but like every advanced metric had them as like a 9 or 10 win team.
That Kelly Ford thing that he was just talking about, where you flip all the one score games or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nebraska was like the best 3-9 team that's ever been last year.
That was my, if you remember, Kyle, that was back in the very first episode, the week 0 episode. That was one of my predictions, was that Nebraska would have more wins than last year, but be a worse team.
Yes, that's definitely what it is, for sure.
I don't know if they're getting to that many wins, but... I think we're all taking Illinois here.
Yeah, I'm going with Illinois. That defense is like actually legit, and Nebraska they're. I guess we'll see who they hire in the offseason. That's kind of all you can talk about with Nebraska at this point.
All right, next, Missouri at South Carolina. South Carolina coming off of a big win this last week.
The bottom trophy is now theirs. First time ever.
Against friends of the podcast, Texas A&M.
Good old Texas A&M.
South Carolina's favored, opened at 6, but it's moved to 4. The prediction average says South Carolina by 9. Not sure why this has moved. Maybe, I don't know if either of you know, if there's maybe an injury rumor or something, but I mean, personally, I would take South Carolina to win this game, especially at home.
Right, for sure. That was exactly what I was going to say. I was like, based on what Vegas knows, I didn't think it was going to be that close, but maybe there's a big injury or something that no one knows about. So yeah, South Carolina for me. Is that true for you too, Lincoln?
Yeah, I'm taking South Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, I'm also going South Carolina. Only way Missouri kind of pulls this out is if they can pressure Spencer Rattler enough. Spencer Rattler leads the nation in turnover-worthy plays while pressured. So if they can get to him and kind of like frazzle him, that might be their way to win. But I think South Carolina is going to pull it out. They have a chance to get to 7-2 because they have Vanderbilt next week.
Poor Vandy.
that's just a heck of a job by Shane Beamer, though. Like, I'm at South Carolina 7-2.
Yeah, for sure. All right, this is an interesting game. I've been waiting to get to this one. Notre Dame at Syracuse. Syracuse is favored by 3, and the analytics, As the sportscasters who have no idea what they're talking about typically say, quote, the analytics say, Syracuse by 6. So, what do we think about Notre Dame at Syracuse?
man, Syracuse, they pulled a big fat Texas over the weekend. They had that game, let them come back. I think they're a great team. I think they should have won that. I think they'll definitely win against Notre Dame. And throw in the home, I would lean towards what the analytics say versus what Vegas says.
So, I'm actually going to go.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to go with Notre Dame to win this on the road. I don't know. It's a, I feel like maybe a letdown after, you know, the Clemson game. I don't know. There's something here. So I'm going to go with Notre Dame to win on the road.
Solid. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Syracuse. I just think offensively, I think they're going to have a better chance in this game. Notre Dame's offense is pretty much just run the ball, and if they can't run the ball, they're going to throw it to Michael Mayer. That's pretty much it. They kind of can't really do anything outside of that, so if they can kind of control where Michael Mayer is, like the Cuse defense, they should be fine. So I think I'm going to lean Syracuse on this one.
All right. Mississippi at Texas A&M. The Lane Train at James Beaufort and the Agriculturals.
Okay. Sorry, but there is no way Texas A&M is going to pull this one off. They are down bad. The culture's all wrong. Two offensive linemen injured, or I don't know if they're offensive linemen, two star defense players out. They just suspended three freshmen today for drugs and whatnot. We don't know the full story yet, but they are spiraling. It's awesome. Everyone loves it. But Ole Miss is angry from LSU spanking them, so they're going to go in there and throw up some numbers. Texas A&M hasn't even scored more than 24 points against a Power 5 team. I think they'll score much less against Ole Miss. We'll see. But give me Ole Miss on this to win huge.
Yeah, Ole Miss is favored by 2.5.
No way.
2.5?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ole Miss favored by 2.5.
It's that 12th man.
Ole Miss is favored.
Yeah, no, I'm saying only two. I'm saying they should be way more than that.
That's crazy, the average on prediction tracker says 3, so it's right in the ballpark. But I mean, I'm with y'all. I think Mississippi wins this one because College Station is in a shambles right now.
Are they even going to make a bowl this year?
They have to win 3 games against Auburn, Florida, LSU and Ole Miss. They got to win 3 of those, so there's no way.
Yeah, well, I know they have UMass too, and that should be a win.
Should be. I would love it. The world would go up in fire.
I don't think Twitter could handle that. Like I just don't think it could.
Man, the stats would be flying that night. I'd be in hog heaven. yeah. So Ole Miss.
Oof, man. I was an FSU student when Jimbo brought out the promise notes for the FSU team, so I'm assuming the promise notes are coming back for Texas A&M soon, but yeah, they're gonna lose. It's gonna be a lane train.
Okay, explain the promise notes to
I've never heard of that.
So at FSU, Jimbo put promise notes on each of the lockers that said it pretty much said, like, I promise to, like, give my hardest. Like, I promise to be committed to the team. I promise to, like, give my full effort and stuff like that. And yeah, that kind of just didn't work out. And
that's the plot of Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. He pretty much had to, like, get his guys to say, like, I will work hard, I will practice hard. And then we became a dumpster fire, so that was, you know, that's kind of what happened after that.
That's exactly what's in the works right now at A&M. They're not going to recover from that, and I think he'll be out of there in 3-ish or less.
I don't think he's... Is he going to leave? Like, he's just... He's getting the bag. Like, he could do whatever he wants.
Right. I mean, I heard rumors that they're gonna do something with recruiting violations and pin on him.
The old for cause, yeah.
So they can fire him. But yeah, they're basically still the buyout doesn't equal $50 million until like 5 seasons from now. He's there for a long time.
I feel like we could get like a Netflix movie on like guys trying to like trap a coach into doing recruiting violations to fire him. That feels like a plot to like a nice little Netflix movie for you.
I would watch that movie for sure.
I would 100% watch that.
Okay, so here's a niche statistic correlation. How about Jimbo Fisher firing rumors plotted against the price of a barrel of oil?
Oh, that's good.
All right. Cincinnati at Central Florida. This opened Cincinnati favored by one. It has since moved Central Florida favored by one to UCF. Prediction tracker average likes UCF a little bit by a couple points. Cincinnati UCF.
UCF screwed me last week, so I'm going Cincy on this one. They win on the road.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Cincinnati as well. UCF did not look very good last week. So, give me Cincinnati.
So my fiance went to UCF, so I've sort of become a semi-UCF fan. You know what? I'm going to pick UCF. They're going to bounce back. They're going to somehow get through Cincinnati's juggernaut defense. John Rhys Plumlee is going to have the game of his life. It's kind of inconsistent with him. He sometimes has really good games, sometimes really bad. I believe in him. He's going to be mobile enough. He's going to move out of the pocket, get what he needs to do, and I'm going UCF.
So, Oklahoma State at Kansas State. This game opened as a true pick'em.
Yeah.
The line has since moved in Kansas State's favor.
Nah.
By 1.5 points.
That's fake. That is
fake. The same thing. No, the spread has moved away from Oklahoma State at least a couple of points during the week. I feel like every single week the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yes.
I don't know what it is, but
we're all being baited.
The line moves away from Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State is going to win this. Do not bet on Kansas State.
Prediction tracker likes Oklahoma State by a couple of points.
Yeah.
So,
give me Oklahoma State on this one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take Oklahoma State until they lose. Yeah. So,
if he's playing, then they'll be fine.
Yeah, so. I think so too.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take Oklahoma State on that one. I guess it depends on if Adrian Martinez is playing. It wasn't his fault, Husker fans. Adrian Martinez.
I'm still
going to go Oklahoma State, though.
Okay, so for those keeping track, we are the same on 7 out of 10 of these. So it's going to come down to 3 games. There is 1 game where only Blinken has a different answer. The second game, only I have a different answer. And then the last one, Jason has the only answer that's different. So it's only going to come down to one of those 3 games. It's going to be awesome.
All right, let's ride.
Okay. Anybody got any Aggie facts before we go?
I have one from via Pete Thamel. Via ESPN Stats and Info that I saw that I just wanted to share because it's so great. Texas A&M's offense has scored less than 25 points in 9 straight games versus FBS teams. The only teams with longer active streaks are Colorado and Rutgers.
Oh, Ah.
That's yikes. Exactly the company you want to be with. The team that already fired their coach in Rutgers.
Right. Man. That's a great one.
That is a tough scene right there.
I actually have an Aggie fact.
Yeah.
So
love it when the guests do. Let's do it.
So over at PFF, we actually chart how a quarterback throws the ball, whether it's accurate, like in their frame, whether it's an overthrow, underthrow, whatever the case may be. And so on accurate throws, like accuracy rate, like how often you throw an accurate throw, the lowest in the nation belongs to none other than Haynes King at 27.5% of the time.
Yikes. So,
not great.
Love to see it.
Not great.
Quarterback whisperer, Jimbo Fisher.
Did y'all know that A&M is two losses away from tying their worst season win percentage in the last 50 years?
Two losses?
I mean, at the time. Okay. They could still win some layer that bumps it back up for the, the final, but they're
at some point getting to that low.
Yeah, so they haven't been that low in 50 years. Or no, they haven't been lower than that in 50 years.
That's impressive considering who they are.
Yes.
Still going to go to Yale practice though. Never miss a Yale practice. Actually, I live streamed one before the Miami game. I watched the live stream, and that was something. That was an experience for me.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the amount of, you know, it's like watching Michael Scott embarrass himself time and time again. It's you can't look away. You would never want to be there in person, but you can't look away.
Oh, 100%. It's cringe porn is what it is.
Oh. Okay. That might make it into the promo for this one. Okay. Well, Jason, thank you so much for hopping on here with us. Continue doing what you're doing, and plug anything you want. Follow him at CFB Numbers.
You got I also have a newsletter. Right now it's just kind of recaps, but it's a free newsletter. Just Google CFB Numbers, College Football Analytics Newsletter. Pretty bad at titles, but that's the title of it. You know, if you subscription's free, it'll show up in your email, and you know, if you want to follow along, you can. And you know, that's pretty much all I got.
Awesome. Sounds great.
Awesome. Thanks again for coming on the show with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Okay, all see right. You guys.
Stats are for losers.